Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, April 23rd, the year of our Lord, 2023. This is the third Sunday of Easter. It's a joy to welcome you here today. I pray that no matter what's going on in your life, this will be a time of peace and reflection and practicing of our faith that brings us encouragement and strength in new and vital ways. And we begin around here by celebrating life itself, by taking in the breath of life. So let's do that now. Let's collectively, let's take in a deep breath and understand that each breath we take is truly a gift, the gift of life, given to us by our good God. And as you breathe, I pray, just turn your face toward the sky. Look up toward heaven. Think about those things that light you up inside, the people you love, your favorite places in the world, that which is good and pure and worthy and lovely. Give thanks to God for all of it. And in this posture, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the opening prayer. You can find the opening prayer printed in the bulletin, which is just right near where you found today's podcast. Find that little notes tab and tap on it or click on it. It'll come up for you. Let's begin. Mighty God, in whom we know the power of redemption, you stand among us in the shadows of our time. As we move through every sorrow and trial of this life, uphold us with knowledge of the final morning, when in the glorious presence of your risen Son, we will share in his resurrection, redeemed and restored to the fullness of life, and forever freed to be your people. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts. In the second chapter, we're going to start at the 14th verse and then jump to verse 36 and go through 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? God, thank you for the gift of your word, alive and among us. And we pray, O God, that you would number us among the crowd that Peter is preaching to. Help us to hear what he has to say and to be equally convicted by it, to be moved to dedicate our lives to you. We pray this all in your holy name and say, Amen. This is the sermon. Well, it's the point in the bulletin that says sermon and has some title next to it and then my name. But no. This is the sermon. This is the first. This is the church getting itself underway. This is Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching the first sermon, the first teachings of the faith. He wasn't up all night in his study. He didn't get to his cross reference. He wasn't going through commentaries. They were there celebrating a traditional Pentecost day. And the Holy Spirit of the living God came crashing in, disrupting everything, filling them with new gifts and new language and new boldness. And it was so disruptive that almost immediately a crowd began to gather, a big crowd, just like some of the crowds that Jesus used to preach to. Peter's not overwhelmed by this. Peter's fired up. Peter, filled with the Spirit, sees it as an opportunity to explain to everyone there what's going on. Why is it that you hear them preach in languages that they wouldn't know? They're all Galileans. How is it that I hear them in my native tongue? Because that's how God works. And filled with this, knowing in his bones that the Spirit of the living God is moving through him, Peter starts to preach. And we jump in here at verse 36. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him, that is Jesus, both Lord and Messiah. This Jesus whom you crucified, he has made him both Lord and Messiah. This Jesus, you heard him preach. I know many of you heard him preach, and I know you've never heard preaching like that before. This Jesus who healed people, every physician, every healer among us couldn't help these people. But the blind see, and the deaf hear, and the lame walk. And those who had been possessed with unclean spirits are back in their right mind. You know this Jesus. And many of you, dare I say most of you, stood in the crowd and you said, crucify him. Crucify him. But he's alive. we've seen him. No grave robber has come forth to produce some corpse because he's alive. Peter is on fire preaching to this group. Now, he says this line about this Jesus whom you crucified, and it convicts them. Because not only is the Holy Spirit on the 12 and on Peter, but it's moving out into the crowd too. And it's opening their hearts and their minds. And it pushes back the noise and the distractions of the corrupt religious leaders. And it pushes back the noise and the distractions of the cult leaders and the personalities and the Roman occupiers, leaving clear, open space for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Because when they hear this, when they are convicted of their role in the crucifixion of Jesus, they heard this and they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. They were crushed by the weight of their complicit behavior, that they were accomplices, accessories to murder. And they said, "What should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent. Turn around, stop it. This thing that you're doing isn't working. There is a new way, a fresh hope, a fullness. This Torah that we celebrate, we've corrupted it. Most of us have had to memorize big sections of our Torah, our story as Jews. How is it that we're treating the poor? Anyone? How is it that we deal with the widow and the orphan? Does it square up with the gift that Moses gave us? You know who did it better than anyone? This Jesus whom you crucified. Because his radical love, generosity, the presence of God for all people, you couldn't handle it. And you tried to shut it up, shut it down, push it away. You even tried to kill it, but you couldn't. And here's the thing. I don't know if any of you heard what he said from the cross, but let me remind you. He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing." Even in the midst of all of it, brothers and sisters, the love of God through this Jesus is still available. So what should you do? Repent. Don't walk in that way anymore and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, so that you would see more clearly those areas in your life when you're walking away from God. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's that look like? It looks like me standing before you, massive crowd of people, on fire with the conviction that we have experienced the full love and light of God through the person of Jesus, who walked among us and taught us and fed us and healed us and showed us a perfect way of living. This Torah that we celebrate today came alive, and it walked among us. The wheat that we harvest from the field and turn to bread, this beautiful bread that keeps us alive, he taught us once that he's the bread, that that's where our life comes from. He showed us just the night before you crucified him, he even took bread and he broke it and he said it was him, that it was his body. And then later on that night, he took the cup and he poured out wine and he said it was his life's blood, that it was a new relationship with him. And that it was available to us, those of us you see standing here, but it's available to you too. And what do you need to do to receive it? Just stop the thing you're doing that's not working, that doesn't square with our law and with what God calls us to do and to be. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will. Not maybe. You will. For the promise is for you. Every one of you. And for your children. And for all who are far away. That relative that you're thinking of right now that you can't wait to call and tell about this good news. It's for them too. And for generations yet to be born. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Corruption. That's what the whole thing is about. We start with something beautiful and good. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God breathes this beautiful, God-ordained creation into existence. Every detail. And yet, in God's love, he blesses the human creation with freedom. And the abuse and misuse and the ignorance that is inherent in this creature corrupts it. And they exploit the creation, and the creation becomes debased. He gives them this law through Moses, and they're able to abide with it for some time, but they dirty it up, and they use it for selfish gain. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. I think it's healthy for us to look around, starting with our own lives, and then expanding the circle out, to look for places where good things, beautiful things, have been corrupted, have been allowed to spoil, have been ignored, have gotten tarnished, and to stop and to repent and to correct. And we do this first by our public commitment, our baptism, to say, I want to stop. I want my eyes open. I want to be able to reject that which is not true. I will no longer participate in the lie, even if it's the socially expected thing to do. I understand that it's wrong. And I understand that participation in that lie may very well have eternal consequences for me. And I choose to be saved from that. And so I will go into the water and I will confess the name of Jesus, who says, come, immerse yourself in me and my love, and my Holy Spirit will be upon you. This was a pretty effective first sermon. The church is off to a good start, because as the reading closes, it says, so those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. Friends, I do my level best to try to preach. I don't know that I'll ever, ever preach like Peter. But I pray that on this day, that as we think about Peter's sermon about a call to repent, about a call to remember who God is and what God has done through Jesus, that our faith is a call to action. And that first action is to examine what we're holding in our hands and drop any of it that does not fit in the kingdom of the heavens. and to encourage others to do the same. This teaching, this doctrine of the church, is vitally important, and it is tremendously good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we give you thanks. We thank you for Peter's bold preaching. And we thank you for those that were so convicted by the truth he was telling that they gave their very lives so that we would have an opportunity to hear Peter preach as well. And so we pray for your conviction. We pray for the strength and the faith to repent, to turn around, so that we could walk in the light of your love. God, we pray for everyone who finds themselves in a position of power, and especially those who have corrupted that power. Jesus told us that we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And so, God, we lift them up, the ones we know by name and the ones we've never heard of. Spirit of the living God, we pray for resurrection and renewal and revival in the corridors of power. And we pray, O God, that you bring new hope and new courage and new strength to the weak and to the lost and to the hungry and to the homeless and to the exploited. God bless our children, the children of the world. Bless them and hold them close, O God. Because in so many ways, the institutions and the people that they need are struggling and failing. Come, Holy Spirit of the living God. We pray for a mighty renewal, a mighty movement. Lift up preachers and teachers, bold witnesses to your goodness and truth. And perhaps, O God, it's one of us listening right now. Give us the courage to respond to your call. And we pray over these big things, O God, and yet there are things that are very personal and near and dear to us. There are people we know, maybe it's us, that need your help right now. We need your healing. We need your courage and your strength. There are celebrations that we're preparing for, and we ask that you join us in the celebrating. So we begin by making a quiet space, sharing all these things with you from the depths of our hearts, and knowing that as we pray, you are listening. We break our silence. We give you thanks for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we celebrate a prayer that goes by your name, and we've learned it, many of us have learned it in different translations, but we know you are present in every word. As we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's carry these words from Peter in our hearts as we move forward. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. The promises of our God, that when we call, he answers. When we open our hands and ask for forgiveness, it's given. A gift from our God, this God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who loves you, blesses you, and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.